We're here today to announce that a Suffolk County grand jury has returned several indictments against former Massachusetts Treasurer Timothy Cahill. He's charged with violating state ethics law by using his official position to obtain an unwarranted advantage. He's charged with violation of our procurement laws, and he's also charged with conspiracy in connection with both of those crimes. We allege that Treasurer Cahill gained an unwarranted and an unlawful privilege by his ability to launch a television ad campaign, ostensibly on behalf of the Massachusetts State Lottery, but one that was actually carefully coordinated primarily to promote his own campaign for governor instead of promoting the interests of the lottery and taxpayers and cities and towns that benefit from funds from the lottery. In fiscal 2010, beginning on July 1, Treasurer Cahill oversaw a $2 million advertising budget for the state lottery, allocated specifically for advertising by the state legislature. By August of that year, Treasurer Cahill was also approaching the final months of his campaign as an independent candidate for governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. While that lottery advertising budget was designed to help promote the lottery, which in turn supports the substantial and crucial financial aid that goes to cities and towns as a result of lottery sales, we allege that Treasurer Cahill made a decision with others to abuse his position of trust and put his own political ambition before the best interests of the taxpayers by essentially allocating $1.5 million of the $2 million budget to be used for television and radio broadcast ads during an eight-week period between September and November, which was concurrent with and would benefit his own political campaign. I would note that also indicted today by the grand jury was Cahill's former campaign manager, Scott Campbell, on charges of conspiracy to violate state ethics law, procurement fraud, and conspiracy to commit procurement fraud. Indictments were also returned today against Lottery Chief of Staff Al Grazioso on two counts of obstruction of justice for his alleged interference with this investigation. By way of background, stepping back to September 2009, Treasurer Cahill announced that he would run as an independent candidate for governor for an election in November of 2010. The state lottery had launched a television ad campaign using 75% of its budget to run during an eight-week period between September and November. That ad promoted the Massachusetts lottery as the most successful lottery in the nation and was, quote, consistently well run. Cahill did not appear in the ad, nor was his name mentioned. Now, in late September 2010, Adam Meldrum, who was then the campaign manager for the Cahill campaign, abruptly resigned. He was sued by Treasurer Cahill on October 7th with the purpose of the Cahill campaign seeking to enjoin him from releasing campaign secrets. In response, Meldrum replied that he was a whistleblower and that he had evidence to provide to the Attorney General's office and to others that the Cahill campaign had improperly influenced this lottery ad campaign. At that time, the Republican Party also filed complaints alleging similar facts with the State Ethics Commission. Now, on October 13th, through a court ruling in that civil suit, Meldrum released a series of texts that appeared to show a strong coordination between the Cahill campaign and the lottery advertising. At that time, our office took action in asking the lottery to take down those ads. They did that pending a full investigation by our office. And as a result, members of the Attorney General's Office, Public Integrity Division, and the Massachusetts State Police, who are assigned to our office, began an extensive investigation reviewing thousands of emails, phone records, and other documents, interviewing dozens of witnesses from the Cahill campaign, the state treasury, and the state lottery, and others. We then presented extensive evidence to a grand jury that we allege demonstrates an orchestrated effort by Treasurer Cahill to coordinate the message and the timing of the lottery ads to unlawfully assist his own campaign for governor. We allege that when the Cahill campaign conducted focus groups on July 26 and July 27 in 2010, They wanted to identify a message that would resonate with voters for the Cahill for Governor campaign. The significant takeaway from those focus groups at that time was that the treasurer's leadership of a successful and a well-managed lottery was the major selling point for him as a candidate for governor. We believe that those focus groups were the impetus for the entire scheme because within one day, the treasurer and his campaign began the process to begin the lottery ads funded by taxpayers to promote his own campaign message of effective leadership of the lottery. For example, on July 27th, the campaign manager met Cahill and then relayed a series of texts to another campaign staffer saying, and you can see over here exactly what that message was, "I just got the go-ahead on everything we discussed. Yes, on the lottery ads, and he has plenty of money. Cahill thinks most of the $2 million is there. We just found $1 million for extra publicity. But Cahill can't be in the ad. But we run ads about the lottery being well-run and putting money back in communities. I'm going to speak with an ad company about copy," Cahill agreed. We also found evidence that the treasurer contacted the lottery's advertising firm on July 28th, and the firm quickly began plans to run what's called a permission TV ad, ostensibly on behalf of the lottery. Now, let me just explain the permission ad. It's a kind of ad that's not just run in Massachusetts, but nationally known for an ad that will deliver a message that the benefits of lottery money, in other words, to communities in Massachusetts, to financial aid to cities and towns, is a good thing. And it thereby gives permission to people who might not ordinarily play the lottery to purchase those tickets as gifts or for themselves because they feel the benefit will be also to something other than just playing the lottery. We allege that the script of the permission ads, which had been on file and had been used before in the past, was changed. We allege that in coordination with the Cahill campaign to specifically match the messages identified in the Cahill campaign focus groups promoting a well-managed lottery. Now, well-managed in that message was not a historic message for the permission concept in the past, but it certainly was consistent and important for the Cahill campaign for governor. Interestingly, as late as the summer of 2010, we found no evidence that the lottery itself had any plans to run television advertising during September or October. And in fact, the priorities of the lottery at that time were similar to other years in which they had focused on the holiday period, a big time for lottery sales between November, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, as well as other times like a big jackpot, when they know that promotion will result in increased sales and indeed more money for cities and towns, et cetera. So if we look at what the historic in the last 4 years prior to 2011 were for lottery advertising budgets, you see that in years 08 and 09, when the lottery had an advertising budget of $10 million, the amount spent on permission ads is relatively small. And when the budget got cut in 2010 to $2 million, there was no money spent on permission ads. And yet, come to 2011, we find $1.5 million, 75% of the budget, is going to be dedicated to the permission ads, coincidentally at the very same time that Cahill is running for governor. Prior to this, as we see, the use of money for permission ads had been on the decline. And so the use of the treasurer's three-quarters of the budget for a permission ad during this time period is unprecedented. The message included in these ads and the timing of these ads, we allege, was an unwarranted and unlawful benefit to Cahill and his gubernatorial campaign. And as a result, Treasurer Cahill would have left virtually nothing at all at the lottery to promote sales during the critical holiday season or indeed for any priorities through June of 2011, for which that budget was the only money available. In terms of the charges the grand jury returned on procurement fraud, these charges are based on the statements, misrepresentations, and efforts of Treasurer Cahill and others to portray this ad campaign as lottery advertising being run for the benefit of the lottery And on the actions that they took to ensure that the television and radio ads were broadcast at the time they were during his gubernatorial campaign, which were to his benefit, personal and political benefit. In 2009, as a result of an update in our ethics law, the state legislature changed what had been previously a civil violation, conflict of interest, obtaining an unwarranted benefit, to a criminal violation. They made it clear that one's use or abuse of an office was to be taken seriously, and the legislature indicated that this was unpermitted behavior. We believe that this behavior by Cahill and by his campaign was exactly that kind of unwarranted privilege gained as a result of his position, and therefore we allege that it is a violation of that statute. Treasurer Cahill is innocent until proven guilty. These will be charges tried in a court of law, and I will take questions.
Did you be seeking jail time? Found guilty of
the first time.
Someone's been indicted, I'm sorry.
It's my understanding. It's certainly true from our office that anyone's been indicted under this statute.
General, is that the entire basis of this case? And the law that was changed just in the ethics update in
it's that statute 268A, Section 23 and Section 26 that makes this behavior criminal. It was previously a civil violation, as well as a criminal felony procurement violation of the procurement laws.
And that's a separate, the criminal felony procurement.
It's based on the same set of facts, but it's a different charge.
General, the Republican Governors Association, according to Cahill, had so badly damaged the image of the lottery in all through the spring and the summer that he argues to his lawyer, that this was the reason they had to go to a commission ad to help the lottery regain its image with the public and get back to the lottery sales that it lost. How do you respond to that?
Well, we're aware that that's the allegation they make. We're also aware that it was also incredibly damaging to Cahill's campaign to be subjected to those. Those ads weren't directed at the lottery. They were directed at the independent candidacy of then-Treasurer Cahill. And to the extent that there was evidence that these were designed to benefit the lottery, I think the evidence that we have seen and we allege is far more compelling that it was his fraudulent intent to use what was a lottery budget for his own benefit as opposed to the lottery. And so if you look at the timing, the way the message was changed, all of this purchasing time between September, end of September, and ironically when the election would have been, that allegation really sort of doesn't seem accurate based upon the evidence of the political benefit and the advantages which are illegal, which are criminal, for his own campaign.
General, doesn't this open up a can of worms? You've got State Treasurer Steve Grossman's abandoned property list. You've got a nonprofit oil company that is running somewhat political ads that people are charging could benefit that CEO's son who's running in a race. Don't you open it up to the possibility of all of those being scrutinized under this? And a second question to that is, you continually talk about timing. Is timing part of the law?
Timing is part of our evidence, and it is part of the motive here. This is a statute that requires fraudulent intent. And to your question, I think that, first of all, we're talking about taxpayer dollars here, which distinguishes some of your examples. These were taxpayer dollars specifically dedicated to the best interest of the lottery that we contend, in violation of this statute, were used for someone else's purpose. Understanding that with the legislature's action, I think that all elected officials need to be aware that there will be greater scrutiny on the use of taxpayer dollars. But our indictments today are based on very, we believe, clear facts after a long investigation. And, you know, that's what we're discussing today, these facts under that statute and the fact that we believe and we allege that they are an unwarranted, unlawful advantage. At this time, based upon this evidence, these are the indictments that we believe will be returned.
Is part of the harm you're saying that the public incurred is that the fact that the money wasn't spent as you said, during the holiday season, where it might have generated more cash, more sales, that could have translated into more money for cities and towns. That's sort of part of their whole argument, or?
Well, it is part of the harm, but it's also part of the motivation. In other words, if this were money to be spent in the lottery's best interest per the prior question, then you would think that you would not, if you haven't, you have a $2 million budget and you really haven't used that much money for permission ads, even when you have a $10 million budget, it calls into question the wisdom and the decision to say, oh, but this year we're going to spend 75% of our budget during this time period. It flies in the face of the logic that had always been applied by the lottery, which is let's advertise when it'll do us the most good. And because it was used concurrent with time period leading up to his campaign, with a message that got changed to be consistent with his campaign about effective leadership and management, I think it begs the question about whether this was in the lottery's best interest. I think the evidence is that it was not. But the real crux of this violation is that because of his position and because of his control over this budget, he has an unwarranted advantage as an elected official to take a benefit, a huge amount of advertising money that others do not have, and he uses it for his own political benefit.
General, is it clear that his picture and name was not in those ads, or what?
His name and picture were not used. In fact, it was made clear that they knew they could not do that because that would be on face a violation of the statute.
Are so there any unindicted co-conspirators named in the indictment?
We have not named. We've named only those who have been indicted.
But how about in the indictments themselves?
I don't believe that we have named others. We do allege conspiracy, and so to the extent that we have named people for whom there is criminal evidence of conspiracy, we believe the grand jury has returned those indictments.
But you won't name those co-conspirators?
I'm sorry?
You're not naming those co-conspirators now, but you will later?
We're not naming them now, that's for sure.
Is anybody in the ad agency involved in this?
Look, we know that there was a lot of activity by the ad agency involved, but they have not been named in this indictment, and this indictment addresses those.
Nobody from the ad
agency has been indicted, nor have we named them.
Could there be in the future?
No. I think answering your question previously, we believe that the indictments, based on the evidence we have before us, are complete.
Is
it fair to say that he helped scripted the ads, or is there evidence to show that his staff scripted the ads with the
We believe, and part of the allegation is that the campaign, including the treasurer, were involved with every aspect of the scripting of the ad, the adding the message that would be consistent with what they thought would help the campaign, the timing of it, and the orchestration of it. Yes.
How do you respond to Cahill's wife, who says that you're trying to destroy him personally and politically through these actions?
Well, first of all, I will. I certainly understand that for every elected official, every candidate, and for anybody facing charges like this, it is difficult. I understand that the exposure and scrutiny takes its toll on folks. We did not take this investigation or these charges lightly. We spent enormous amounts of time to make sure that we did this thoroughly. And so I am sympathetic to family members who face this, but my job is to look at the evidence and to present that to a grand jury, and I think that's what we've done here.
If Cahill's found guilty, what kind of prison charges is he?
Well, the statute itself, both for procurement fraud and for the violation of the state ethics, carries up to a 5-year state prison sentence. It also includes House of Correction sentences, and they both carry fines. One is up to $10,000. Actually, they're similar. They both carry up to $10,000 fine.
Thank you.
General, to your knowledge, has your office ever run any advertising within that similar time frame up to your elections?
Not that I'm no.
Thank you, everyone.
What about the stuff with his fundraiser, who also was in on different meetings and a consultant to different other gaming companies? Is there further looking into that, or is that a settled deal?
Well, I can't comment on pending investigations at this stage. All I will say is that this investigation around the use of lottery funds for advertising is a fairly concrete set of circumstances, and this based on what we know at this time, this is the conclusion of that investigation.
But that doesn't mean it's concrete. conclusion of the other investigation.
It does not.
Is the implication that if the money was better spent, the lottery could have generated more, you know, more cash, which again could have translated into more money? In terms of why people should care, is that sort of...
Sure. I mean, people should care because that is obviously one of the side effects of what Treasurer Cahill did. But understand that the essence of this crime, which is a political corruption crime, which is a getting an unwarranted advantage, using public resources to give yourself an edge that other people wouldn't have, an advantage, in this instance, advertising. And the effect of it is obviously not only corruptive on the system, but in this instance, we do allege that it diminished the ability and the effectiveness of the lottery to do what it should be doing, which is to generate sales and use that budget in the best time, to get the best result for cities and towns. So it is both the damage involved, but it is also the evidence that the motive here was not to spend $1.5 million to promote the lottery, even despite the RGA ads. But the motive and the fraudulent intent here was to use a found $2 million, 75% of $2 million, to promote a gubernatorial campaign. We allege that's an unwarranted, unfair, and unlawful advantage, and it's criminal in Massachusetts.
Did these ads show a bump in sales in the lottery at all during that time period?
We do know that that lottery sales go up and down depending on time periods, and that they had started to go up anyway before this ad campaign started. But we think that's somewhat irrelevant to this. I think there's evidence that relates to the motive to use the money the way it was, as opposed to improving lottery sales. Okay, thank you.